hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you have notes that you want to write down, please do. Every time, I don't think as humans we can remember everything, probably about 20%, but you write down, you can remember more. Okay, Romans 8:28, let's read the verse. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we know in Thy word You teach us that You work all things after the counsel of Your will. That, Father, no one, Lord, is Your advisor besides the Trinity. That, God, in the lives of every individual, everything on this universe, Lord, even the so-called Mayan calendar and what the people will do, Lord, in eternity past, because of Your omniscience, You already know all these things have happened. And Father, You know in 2012 what was going to happen. And Father, everything that You have seen has come to pass. And God, nothing in this life or in this world or in the history of man happens without Your permission. God, we thank You for the greatness of this God that we serve. That there is nothing, Lord, You miss. You're not like humans who can wake up one day and say, Lord, we forgot. Oh no, we forgot something. We thank You, You're a God who never forgets. God, You are so careful, You are so meticulous, You are so spot on in many areas. That, God, we bow in humble worship of this great God who knows all things and does all things by His power. And so, Lord, today as we just have this short time in Your word, as we close this year, next week will be our last Friday night. But, Lord, as we begin to reflect on Your goodness, help us to know, Lord, that this verse quoted many times is still true. And, God, we can still trust You in 2013. For all the things You've done for us in 2012, God, as we just have a short study of this verse, I pray that Thy Holy Spirit will begin to speak to us and that, God, You will work in our lives that we might become more and more like You, because that is the trust of Romans 8:29, that we might be all like Christ, be like Christ. So thank You, Lord, for this time. I pray that You would have Your will and way. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Maybe what I'll do is just play a little game first, right, to start off with. There's a little bit less people here. I don't know why today everyone wants to stay here, because maybe it's not so... But anyway, we'll start with the more people first, okay? And offer the more people, I give you the... And I was beginning to think about the best and the worst thing. Of course, the best thing that ever happened to me was my salvation, okay? And of course, second best thing is my wife and the marriage. And of course, I think for other people, there may be other things. But perhaps the worst thing that have happened to me was whatever. But you know, if you look at the best thing and the worst thing, you know, it's not really the thing that's happened really, but what actually happened after. Who did we become after? Did it make us better people? Do you realize in the context of Romans chapter 8:28, whether it's the best situation that ever happened to you, or whether it's the worst situation that ever happened to you, both situations to point that when you look back, you could actually say, I grew from those situations. Okay? That should be the experience of a believer. Doesn't necessarily mean that you enjoyed what you went through when it was the worst situation, but it means, though, that in the promise of 8:28, you ought to have become a better person. Okay? So just want to drop that in. We want, for us, one of the things was, we know that all things work for good. Not what I want as good, but what God wants for me as good. And it's very important. That's very important. Recently, I had an email from someone who's lost a baby. Okay, I think, and he is a Christian, and I was a privilege of actually replying and just saying that, look, sometimes we want that because we think it's good, but God took it away because God felt it wasn't good for you. Okay, it is very important for us to understand this. Okay, we'll talk about that as we go in this verse. For us, we wanted to use the ATI. Now, some of you may know ATI, Advanced Training Institute, which is actually a homeschool program, and we're all geared for it. But you know what? We tried to fulfill all the requirements. We sent off the thing. We registered the mail to the U.S. We went to the post office. We paid, I think, over $130 to make sure all our documents were intact so that they can send us the videos. We could start our homeschool program. Okay? Guess what? Don't know whether the postal service lost the mail or which. After 3 months, it just didn't exist anymore, that letter. And so the Singapore Post refunded us the money. And we took it as God closing that door. Because we had to, there were many things happening. We had to start the homeschool. And you know what? We went on to ACE, and praise the Lord, it suited our needs, it suited our timing, and our children grew from it. So we thank God for that. So sometimes we wanted ATI because I felt that it was good for the children. God says, no, you use ACE. So for us, anyway, in that situation, God actually moved things so that we just focus on the ACE. Okay? So coming to Romans 8:28, I just want to highlight 3 points from this particular verse. And hopefully as we reflect, we will actually thank God for His goodness. Okay? In Romans 8:28, the Bible says, we know that all things work together for good. The first two words is important. We know. The word we know there is important. It means there is a sense of realization and knowledge. Okay? The reason why these two words is important is because many people may think they know the plan of God, or rather they know that it is good for them, but they don't actually realize it's good for them. And why I say that is because people go through life as Christians carrying things in their lives that they know, I know, he talks, I know this is God's will for me, but you know, I just can't take it. You know, the two words we know is important because it needs to happen in the heart of a Christian. You need to know. The knowledge that you have of God's plan or whatever you're going through needs to be in your heart to say, I'm in this situation because God's plan is for me to be in this situation. Does that make sense? The realization is not only knowing here, but knowing here. If you read the context of Romans chapter 8, you will find the verse before talking about prayer. People are unable to pray, and God actually promising the Holy Spirit's help. Here, the context is the Romans were going through, or there were the starting of persecution among the Romans. Okay? So remember, this is the book of Romans, and Paul wrote to the Roman church, not the Roman Catholic church, the Roman church, the church in Rome, and there was the startings of the persecution. And some of them were already going through it. So in Romans 8, Paul had to tell them, look, these are just the trials of this life. And some of them just say, why? That's not fair. This letter that I had, and after some emails back and forth, and well, this person, it's not fair. I don't trust God anymore. Why did God let it happen? Okay, but it's a privilege to tell him that God still loves this particular person, and trials are given to us to grow. Okay? So in this particular context, unfortunately, some people do not get that sense. They do not realize. They do not realize that all things work for good to them that love God. Many Christians go through life bitter. They say they are Christians. They live as Christians. Go to church as Christians. They read their Bibles as Christians. They pray as Christians. Do everything as Christians. But deep down in their heart, they don't really know. Does that make sense? How many of you don't understand what I'm saying? Okay. It's so important for us knowing here and knowing here. We know this is supposed to happen, but we resist because it doesn't square with us. That's not, I know this is supposed to be, but I don't accept it. And Christians, knowing that they're supposed to accept it, go through life saying they accept it, but they don't accept it. But Paul actually tells us, we know. That has a sense of knowledge and a sense of realization. It's not just we know, it's a sense of realization. All right, any questions? That's the first part of this particular. Therefore, these Christians suffer needlessly in their hearts when the situations cannot be explained and the pain continues. The knowledge in the mind and the realization helps in the handling of unforeseen and terrible situations that are beyond our control. Many Christians, I can tell you in this life, there are many things that you and I cannot control. Agree? Okay, the PSLE people, you cannot control your marks. After you've written pens down, whatever came back, it's beyond your control. You can't do anything anymore. Once it's there, there are many things in this life will be beyond your control. Children, as you grow up, the world, teenagers, as you grow up, many things, even as adults, many things are beyond our control. Okay, some people may say, next year is going to be a better year. There's this mixed information given in the papers. The next year is going to be a good year. Then the last one, our manufacturing has gone down quite significantly. And all things beyond our control. So, yesterday, I bought a duck. Okay, I bought a duck with the Prime supermarket, and so I usually like to kind of just chat these people up, you know? So I say, well, uncle, your cutting is very sharp, because he take the duck, then the backside will be just here, and he aims, of course the knife must be sharp, so the whole spine came out. I say, well, uncle, your kung fu very good, kung fu means your cutting good, very accurate, I say. Then he said, no lah, if I touch Toto, accurate better.
That was his first response to me.
Then I was able to actually, you know, a lot of people think like that. But then actually I was able to, no lah, yeah, say in Chinese, you got much money, so no point. You know, those top people in civil defense, all that, got money, so what? I can go to school, so what? They're also now in jail, what? They get quiet throughout. A lot of people think like that, that things are beyond their control, and so they want, I suppose many people in this world feel that money is something they can hold on to. Realize that money can become useless as well. Okay? So, number one, Christians, do we realize? Do we realize? Number one. Number two, what do we realize? That all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Not all things that befall us as Christians are good. We'll agree with that, huh? Not the things that happen to us are good. But it's interesting, the Bible says, Paul says, we know, we realize that all things work together for the outcome of good. The sense from this verse is that we will never always have the good things in life. There will be sometimes they are bad. Agree? Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Okay? Sometimes people say you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Usually I only get up, I only got one side of the bed to get up from. Okay, for you, those of you who are single bed, yeah, you may get up the wrong side, but for us, can you go up from one side? All right? The sense from this verse is that we will not always have the good things in life. And that's something as Christians we need to... Don't talk about Christians. As a normal human being, you will never have it good in life all the time. Okay? Because there will be days that are bad. There will be days that your tire will pongche. You know? There will be days that your horn don't work and you get... Well, there will be days that when you cook, your chicken will get burnt. There will be days that things will happen. Okay? And there will be days that things will give you a heart attack. Say, oi, how can you do that? Okay. There will be days that will be bad. So from this sense, we understand that not all things. No, as humans, we always want it good. But God says no. Okay? Let's look at two verses. May I get Jeremiah? You can turn to one. 1 Peter 4:12. Maybe about Songling. You can turn to Philippians 1:29. So we know that all things work together for good, but not all things that will befall us are good. In 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Okay, so Peter is telling the Jewish Christians, don't think it is strange that you are going through some trials, as if some strange thing happened to you. Many Christians feel and believe that once I become a Christian, everything must be nice and wonderful. That's not true, okay? If you genuinely want to live for God, it's not going to be an easy road because, well, guess what? Your enemy is going to stop you. But here, don't think it's strange we're going through trials. Philippians 1:29. Okay, so Paul was addressing the Philippian Christians. He was writing from prison. He was just citing his own example that there will be times that you will have to go through the difficult times because you are a Christian. Okay, this is persecution per se, specifically, but generally there will be trials even in our own lives. The encouragement from Romans 8:28 is this: they will all work together for the ultimate good of the child of God. That everything that will ever happen in your life and my life, no matter bad or good, will ultimately work for good, to the good of the individual. Okay, so as I was thinking through this, I was thinking, oh Lord, how can we practically see this happening? Okay, I could see six things that God does things for good. Let's turn to a few verses so that we can actually draw these points. Okay, so I just Edward, if you can turn to Genesis 50 verse 20, then let's see, Lydia, you can turn to Deuteronomy 8 verse 16. If Stagnus, if you can turn to Zechariah 13 and verse 9, then if Jacob, if you can turn to James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And then we'll all turn to the two passages after this we'll bring up, okay? So, how do things work together for good? Genesis 50, verse 20. Who spoke these words? Joseph. Joseph went through the most horrendous 20 years of his life. He was a favorite child, but he was sold into slavery by his own brother, okay? He suffered much. Even though he did what was right in Potiphar's house, he was blackmailed, okay? He was thrown into prison for something he didn't do, okay? Then he went to prison. He helped someone get out of prison. He interpreted a dream, and the other person actually says, yes, I will remember you, and he was forgotten for another 2 years. What kind of life is that? Constantly forgotten, constantly being in trouble. But you know, over the years, finally God promoted him, and there was a plan. And you know what? The life of Joseph was, of course, people would parallel this. In theological training, they always parallel the life of Joseph with the life of Jesus. But you know, even in our own lives, in the life of Joseph, you see the bad things that happen at the end of everything. You know, even the brothers, when Jacob passed away, what happened? Sorry, even before that, when the brothers came, Joseph was struggling with one thing. What was he struggling with? He was struggling with the fact that his brother sold him to slavery. You know, there was pain in his heart for all those years. He thought, in fact, when he married the Egyptian princess, he felt that God has made me to forget all my past. Guess what? Along came the famine and the brothers. His past came back. Okay? His past came back and he had to face that again. But you know, in all this, Joseph had this conclusion. That was in Genesis 50:20. As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. You realize it takes a spiritually minded man, lady, to realize that even when people do wrong to us, it was God who allowed that to happen. The first point is this: God used us. God may use us to bring us through difficult times for the good of others. When Joseph, what Joseph had to go through was in God's plan to get Joseph to become the second in command in Egypt to do what? To save the world, literally. Because a famine was over all the, at least the known world. And people were coming to Egypt to buy food. And God gave Joseph the wisdom to be able to manage that. Number one, God may bring us through the hard times, but in this we learn God uses us for the good of others. In other words, we are an instrument in God's hands. Remember Esther, if I perish, I perish. We are just instruments in the hand of God. God uses us for the good of others. Deuteronomy 8:16, point number two. Okay, so in Deuteronomy 8:16, Moses told the children of Israel, God fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers didn't know about, for the purpose of humbling you and for the purpose of testing you, so that he can do you good. In other words, God worked things, even though sometimes it could be trials and tests, to bring good to us, to bless us, to do good to us. Can I say this from this verse that Moses have, and many other passages in Scripture, you may go through the hardest time. Don't doubt God. He uses them to bring good to you in the end. All right? So that's lesson number two. Zechariah 13, verse 9. The third thing, bad things may happen. God may bring us through the fire to do what? To bring us back to Him. Isn't that good? Isn't the outcome good that we go back to God? Sometimes trials happen and we shake our fists at God, but little did we know, actually God bring those trials to bring us back to Him. That's point number three, the good thing. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Before I read we read the next one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 10. All right, this is just a verse about correction. Point number four is God, all things work together for good. Sometimes you may, well, literally, break a bone in your body. You may go into something. I know last time when I fall sick, I know God is trying to get my attention last time, okay? And things may have changed now. That was many, many years ago. Every time I fall sick, God is trying to get my attention about something. But the Bible says here, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God doesn't bring a big heavenly cane like whoosh, you, all right? But sometimes he brings trials into our lives, and many times when trials come, the first thing we need to do is say, God, have I sinned? Okay, that is a very important first thing. Okay, if you see through the Lord, I have not sinned, then maybe God is trying to bring out something in us, okay? All right? But one of the main reasons why situations, so-called bad things happen to us is because God wants to correct us. To bring us to the good again. God wants to correct us. Okay, look at verse 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Sorry, Hebrews 12 and 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not us be rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10. For they surely, verily, for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but God for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. To be good is to be holy. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. God doesn't treat our Christian life in a passive manner. He actively works to grant us His holiness. And sometimes to reach there, He has to put us through the fire, okay? To correct us so that we can be better. In James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Jacob. Okay, I say again, God is not passive. God sometimes wants to try our faith, test our faith so that we can be perfect. Point number five, to perfect us, to make us more mature as Christians. All right, and the last point, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. I'll read. Okay. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy and speak and full of glory. You know, God brings the trials, the things in our lives, all things working together for good to prepare us for heaven. To prepare us for heaven. You know, I think one of the things we have learned before is God, when they took the Egyptians out, the Israelites out from Egypt, but God had to spend a long time to get Egypt out from the Israelites. Okay, I say again. The Israelites were in Egypt for 430 years. Okay, and after God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, God had to actually spend a long time to get Egypt out of Israel. Because the Israelites were worshipping the idols and the lifestyle of the Egyptians. And so God had to get the Egypt lifestyle out of Israel. You know, as Christians, many of us will not feel at home. I don't know about you, but will we feel at home in heaven? Will we, if God were to bring us to heaven right now, let's say on the 21st of December 2012, God grants everyone in every nation a special elevator that goes straight up to heaven just for today, just for when we go up in this, or I don't know, the queue will be long, or maybe God will make a really big one, you know, so everyone can just go at one shot. So when we all go up to heaven, would we feel at home in heaven? Or we would rather, got computer game now? Don't have. What? You mean I can only dress in white? You mean every day we only serve God? Will we feel comfortable in heaven? Think about that for a while. You know, God actually had to burn all the world from us so that our lives, when we go to heaven, not that we won't be ready for heaven, but the illustration is clear. Is our heart in heaven or on earth as a Christian? And sometimes God literally had to bring trials in our life to burn off the world, to prepare us for heaven. And sometimes God may put trials in our lives because we're holding on to something that's so tight. God says, that's not going to work. I need to wean you from this world. And God sends a trial to our life, just like for my children, and I think for some of the younger teenagers. Sometimes the reason why we have standards, it's biblical standards, is so that we will not love this world. Because God says, don't love the world. We need to love God more. Does that make sense? Prepare us for heaven. So all things work together for good, okay? God uses us for the good of others, to bring us back to Him, to bring us good, to correct us, to perfect us, to prepare us for heaven. All these are good. And as Christians, we need to trust God that it is good. Because as Christians, sometimes, because trials happen, we lose faith in God. Can I say this? Whenever something happens in your life, the first thing you do, thank God. I say again. The first thing you need to do when the trial comes into your life, thank God. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, this is God's will concerning you. In all things, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you, which is in Christ Jesus. The reason why we thank God first is because we don't put the focus on what happened. We put the focus on the person who allowed it to happen. And God knows what is good for us. And then we will be in a proper heart and mind frame to deal with the trial that comes. Think about that for a while, because the natural response of human beings, even Christians, is to resist the trial that comes. Because we don't want difficulties. We want life to be smooth. That's not reality as far as God is concerned, okay? But the promise is all things will work for good to them that love God. And finally, who is this good restricted to? Point number three. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The Bible tells us here, things will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. There's actually a few layers that I was trying to tease through also. Lord, you say to them that love you, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, who are the called according to God's purpose in this world? Sorry? Christians, in a general sense, God has a plan for every child of God, right? And so God says, all things will work together as we know. You know, there's a hope for every Christian. Do you realize the hope that things will never happen in your life without the permission of your Heavenly Father to bring good in your life? Everything that will happen, every place you go, everything that you do, every situation you are in, every decision you make, God oversees, all right? And He moves it so that at the end, good will come out of it. I don't know about you, that is so comforting. And probably I can maybe bring it to the point to say, there is nothing you do that God doesn't know. But sometimes God may have to bring you to a further way because of our own stubbornness or disobedience. God may actually have to bring us through a wilderness wandering. That if we continue to be stubborn, God says, okay, fine, I'll take you home first. But ultimately, even taking us home is good. Good for us, good for society, and good for the glory of God. Think about that, okay? So, for us, all things, as Christians, will work for good. There's nothing that you will decide as a Christian that God doesn't know about. But everything that God puts in your life, it is for good, okay? So, Christians, but you know, it seems to me that in this verse, there is another qualifier. The Bible says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that agape, unconditionally love God. They give their lives to God. And it's interesting because here, when you actually put that, okay, Christians is one level, the first one. Then God says, those who love God, all things will work together. And then those who are called according to His purpose. In the Apostle Paul's writing, it seems to me that Paul was actually directing the Roman Christians and said, things will work for good to you who are walking in the will of God. At that time, that the persecutions will come. The thought that Paul wanted to drive home in Romans 8:28 for the Romans was this, that even adversity, opposition, persecution can come into the life of God's people. In reality, it is for their good. This seems to be particularly directed towards them who truly love God. To them who gave their life to the Savior and the persecution come, God says, you don't worry about this, all things will work good, work together for good if you love God. It seems to me that the qualifier could be for those who truly love God. Does it make sense? That means for those Christians who don't truly love God, and it is possible, sometimes there's this haze that is, you know, I've spoken to many Christians whereby when they're in trouble, they'll come for counsel. But if everything is fine, they don't bother. There was one Christian I met in the army, and this Christian was saying, you know, many Christians treat God as a lawyer. We only go to Him when we have a case. And sometimes we want to know God's will when we're in trouble. The question I ask myself sometimes when I think through, based on this verse, is, Lord, is it true that only things will work for good to those who love you, who have surrendered to you, who have given their lives to you? Based on this verse, it seems that way. Okay? And I want us to see it from two levels. This is very important. It seems to be, I'll just read here, it seems to be the sense, there's a distinction to those who love God and those who, though are saved, yet are cold towards His will, His word, and His work. There is a thought that because these Christians who is not loving God is not in touch with God, the things that are happening to him are blurry. He doesn't know what's happening. And uncertain to the Christian. Just as a soldier who is supposed to navigate through unfamiliar ground, when he suddenly, maybe he's too tired, he loses his concentration, and then suddenly he's unsure of where he is. Does that make sense? Okay? However, is it not true that even when we are unfaithful, God is still faithful? You know, as I think through this, I realize this. There is that sense that when a person truly loves God, we are so confident that things work for good. But when we are not as close to the Lord, we get blurry about what things are about. And that is where the first two words in Romans 8:28 is so important. We know that all things work together for good. For a believer who has never or who is half-hearted about surrendering to God, yes, we are the called according to His purpose, but sometimes in our lives, we don't realize that things work out for good. We blame God, we complain, and the reason is because we haven't fully surrendered to the Lord. Does that make sense? And it's very important for us to understand this verse in the context, because we quote this all the time as a comfort. But we realize one thing, all things work together because God is sovereignly in charge. There is nothing God cannot control. And we know, based on this verse, that nothing happens in our lives, but everything happens for good. Or rather, everything will work together for our good in the future. But the Christian going through that may have a problem with knowing, may have a problem with surrender. And therefore, this verse, we can quote it, but it may not go into the heart because we don't realize. We don't realize that the thing that we're going through, the families that we are in, do you realize that it works out for good? The situation that you are in right now, do you realize that it will work out for good? The church that you're in, the things that you're doing, the areas that, or problems that you're going through now, do you realize it is for good? And as I put it that way, it makes, yeah, maybe very hard for me to accept this. That's the reality of the first two words we know. Paul knew when he was in prison, he was rejoicing. Why? He already knows. Amen? In prison, he knows. I'm here because it's God's will. God wanted me here. And by the way, if I'm here, the soldiers are getting safe. So, can you imagine the soldiers getting chained to Paul? And Paul just has 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to share with him the gospel. He cannot run away. Okay, no one's going to stop Paul. You know what? Because Paul has learned in whatsoever state he is to be content. He is willing to accept God's will. So as we close, we are called according to God's purpose. We can rejoice when this thing comes because it helps our growth, and we can know that all things that happen to us will work for our good. And hopefully there's an encouragement for us as we close the year, as we look back. There's nothing that we go through that our Heavenly Father doesn't know. And hopefully we will hold that in our hearts. Of course, then God wants us to bring it forward. Okay, so Lord, what's the next thing you want me to do? Are there things that, you know what, we still, just don't lean back on this and say, well, if anything happens, God's in control, so I just live and let Him drive. No, God wants us to. God wants to lead. We have to actively follow. Because when God leads, sometimes we go somewhere else. All right? God has to do something to get us back again. Okay? Any questions? As we close, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. People are just